May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 614. The Lord the righteous tries, yet we'll adore his name. He never will their cause despise, nor put their hope to shame. Hymn 614.
Thank you. Let us read together from the Gospel according to Luke, a part of chapter 19 and part of the 16th chapter of the Acts. The Gospel according to Luke, chapter 19, part of Acts, chapter 16, and Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for so much that he also is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. We turn to the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 16, 16th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. Then came he, that is Paul, to Derbe and Lystra. And behold, a certain disciple was there, named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess, and believed that his father was a Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters. For they knew all that his father was a Greek. And as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep, that were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. They stirred a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, "Come over into Macedonia and help us." And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavoured to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came in a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and the colony. And we were in that city abiding certain days, and on the Sabbath. We went out of the city by a riverside, where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, the seller of purple, of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. When she was baptized, and her household, she besought us, saying, "If ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there." And she constrained us. We leave the reading of God's word. Amen. Lord, we pray for help of God, especially at the throne of grace. For what is all our appearing, or even speaking, or hearing, indeed, that, Lord, without thy grace and thy help, we can do nothing. Leave us not, O Lord, to come without prayer. We need the throne of grace. Need thee, Lord, to grant that word to be made known over and over again. And there will I meet with thee, and there will I commune with thee from above the mercy seat. We pray that thou wilt thus help us to seek for those needful things. Needful is thy presence, needful thy dear Spirit, needful the Lord Jesus. May we feel it increasingly. And needful a Father's love, oh, to be made known in sinner's heart, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, hear him." We pray that thou grant, O Lord, that we may be gathered, Lord, and we may see no man save Jesus only. Lord, not Elias nor Moses, but may we see with those disciples, when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. And Lord, thou knowest the hardness and the hearts of stone that we mourn over. Lord, we can go with a prayer this morning. Lord, that thou wilt grant all that help of God to believe, and take away the stony heart. We want to feel at the throne of grace. And we pray for thy gracious help, and pray, Lord, that thou wilt soften hearts of stone. We need the blood of Jesus, each one of us. May we feel it. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt remember us as we gather on this annual occasion. And pray, Lord, that thou wilt be going before us. Lord, may the preparation of the heart, we read in man, and the answer of the tongue, and we wait upon thee, be of the Lord, for those that wait upon thee. Grant a word in season. We pray, Lord, for any that may feel left out. We think, Lord, of the services, and recently too. Maybe those, Lord, that may need thee so much. Lord, do come, but we pray thee, and grant that gracious help and blessing too. Lord, we pray for the little ones. We pray for them here and it's our own cause. And we pray, Lord, for each and every one. The little ones, and we remember a very, very little one. And pray that thou wilt watch over thee, lad, and grant thy sparing and strengthening mercies. We pray also, Lord, that thou wilt remember those that wait upon thee. Lord, to grant thy goodness, the living child. And those, Lord, that can come and say that thou dost know all things, that may they be able to say, thou knowest that I love thee. We pray, Lord, for the church, that thou wilt be mindful, Lord, and grant a godly, gracious increase here. It's our own cause too. We thank thee, Lord, for the bond. Pray that thy work may appear. And maybe, Lord, that blessing of God, the pouring out of thy spirit, and there may be sweet answers of peace. Return, blessed spirit of truth, return. We pray that thou wilt remember the churches throughout the land, where thy name is faithfully recorded, and in other lands too. Remember seekers, Lord, to be mindful of them. And those, Lord, that may need thee to be beginning again, or those that may fear that they have not entered right. Lord, do come where they are. Remember the burdened. Remember those, Lord, that are cast down because of the way. Remember those, Lord, that may feel that they come in vain. Lord, may it please thee to grant thy gracious help and encouragement. They shall not wait in vain that wait for me. And we pray, Lord, that thou wilt remember us. We open the book, may it be opened before we open it. There may be purposes, maybe, Lord, answers of peace, that thou wilt come and grant, O Lord, a sweet flowing together. There may be, Lord, that done as has been asked, that, Lord, to thy honour and glory that shall remain. And grant, O Lord, that thy name may be glorified, and we must be cast into the dust. We pray that thou wilt remember us as we pray for thy blessing upon thy truth and in our hearts. Remember the older ones. Lord, they are in our hearts to pray for, that thou wilt not leave them to nature's darkness and unconcern, O Lord, to live the rest of their time without an exercise, concerning eternity a tremendous sound, but we lovingly, prayerfully, we bring them unto thee, and thou canst touch their hearts and ours too. We pray, Lord, that thou remember each case and each need. Lord, thou art that God that knoweth the burden of a sigh. Thou dost know the vast desires of man, and those, Lord, that cannot help themselves. We desire a thankful heart for thy many mercies. Lord, countless as the sands upon the seashore, we desire to bless thee and praise thy holy name for thy watchful loving kindness, thy many mercies. And with each of us, every one of us, each returning need supplied, may it be so in grace. We ask, Lord, that thou help us with that dear woman again that cried, Lord, help me. Oh, it's fresh tokens and answers of peace. And it is that same Jesus, or may we know of his fullness. We desire to fall at thy feet. Lord, remember us in every burden, every care. And Lord, do we not seek that thou once more grant a reviving of that truth as it is in Jesus, where there are deliverances and interventions from on high, answers of peace, the Lord being mindful, those gracious divine leadings and appointments, and Lord, may there be much done. In the name of the Holy Child Jesus. We desire, Lord, that thou help us in the singing of thy worthy praises. But we are reminded of the needs in our land, and with shame we notice, Lord, the desire to overturn the rights and godly and gracious institution of marriage owned by Christ. And now we have to mourn and seek that thou touch hearts in high places. Lord, overrule, do appear. And Lord, do especially turn about our Prime Minister. And we think of the need of thy gracious help and deliverance at this time. We ask that thou wilt remember us and appear for us personally and collectively and in our nation. May thy kingdom come. Now, Lord, may there be liberty. May we dip our foot in oil, be made acceptable unto the brethren. Oh, that is our desire, accepted in the beloved, but may we be faithful. We read of thy word, in thy word, be thou faithful unto death. We ask, Lord, that thou would come now, help us, we pray, that may there be something remaining. We ask thy blessing upon the Sabbath school. And remember, we pray to this house of prayer for Christ's sake. Amen.
Part of hymn number 594, commencing to sing at verse 7. Mourning souls who feel the smart of a guilty, treacherous heart, and with mighty care and pain, struggle hard, relief to gain. Labour hard you may and long, but you'll find your foes too strong. Solid peace can ne'er be had, only through a Saviour's blood. Hymn 594, verse 7.
By the help of God, I direct you to 8 words in verse 15 of the 16th chapter of Acts. Acts chapter 16, we read these words in verse 15. Lord, come into my house and abide there. Lord, come into my house and abide there. We must notice the verse. The part of God's word is very precious, where we read of what the Lord did, no one else could do. The Lord opened Lydia's heart. And I think there are many places where we read of the Lord's work. And though it may seem that there is not that description of conviction of sin, yet we have the evidence of it. We have the truth of it. I think of one dear woman that you will remember in the 4th chapter of John, whose heart the Lord touched there. That woman of Samaria. And surely the Lord touched her heart, didn't he? It needed that touch. As Jesus was by the well wearied with his journey, and we read that well-known account of the Lord's dealings with that woman of Samaria. We do not read of a great lengthy law work, but we soon see the truth of it. At the inward smart and conviction and turning away from sin, we might say, in a very few moments. Friends, it's reality, isn't it? It's the application of truth. It's what God will do and cannot be undone. It is what the Lord does, and we may be assured it is done well. So there are those parts of God's word where we read of those characters, like Lydia, the subjects of divine grace. I feel directed to the word here concerning Lydia, at whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. But you see, it was accompanied that by divine power reached right into her inmost soul. And that is the house that I want to... Well, the house, I believe it means the inmost soul of man. We read of the house of the tabernacle of man, and it's the inner sanctuary. Whose heart the Lord opened. So that we notice that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul, and it was because that the Lord touched her inmost soul, and I believe she was waiting for the Lord to appear. And as she was subject of grace, and the Lord opened her heart, that's what we need. So, friends, there was that willingness in the day of his power. I think that's the best way to put it. There was that true obedience. And so it was that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul, because he was the messenger. And the Lord accompanied the words of the apostle with power and authority. And we read she was baptized, and her household. How are we to understand that? Whether it is just something that is a pattern throughout the household? Well, friends, I believe the words in our text that bring it very sweetly unto us. Lord, come into my house and abide there. Among these, perhaps lay very dear to her heart, or those that she had an exercise about, that, friends, we must say, I believe very firmly that each and every one were the subjects of the power of God's grace. If we differ or err from that, we're on very dangerous ground. Not duty faith, is it? Duty repentance or duty obedience. But when God touches the heart, those three things will come together. Lord, grant the application of it. We feel directed to speak of these eight words. Lord. That's the first word in our text. Oh, may the Lord grant those answers of peace today. May the Lord himself be pleased to grant his sweet presence. It has been prayed for. May there be many that wait for the Lord to graciously appear, for the Lord will not pass them by. There are many sweet characters, and the Lord came right where they were. Lord. And then what reverence. We need to take this first word belonging to the Almighty on our lips or even in our thoughts and prayers, Lord. Lord, it speaks, doesn't it, of the Almighty? Is there any reverence, godly fear in our hearts? We desire that it may be so, young and old. Lord, come into my house and abide there. And then I've thought, as we may be gathered together, and have many desires perhaps, many prayers put up, it is well if there is family worship. It is well if there is a desire to bend the knee, as it were, to seek God's face. And I wonder if this prayer may, as it were, be the desire of those that have called upon him this morning. Lord, come into my house and abide there. Perhaps it covers all the desires of your heart. Perhaps it is a word that seems to be so pertinent, so needful. Lord, come into my house and abide there. Oh, how needful this prayer unto God. And we need our prayers answered, don't we? Come into my house and abide there. Now, in the scriptures, we read not only of the earthly house of our tabernacle and the inner sanctuary of it, we read of that place where the Lord gathers his people together. For we sing, do we not? Where thy people meet, there they behold the mercy seat. That's where the Lord is. Where there is a gathering together. But we need to be ever so careful. It doesn't mean that we don't need to come up to God's house, because he is omnipresent. And it's only bricks and mortar. It doesn't mean that at all, does it? It means this. There's a divine pattern in the Word of God. And as those ancient tribes came up, and there was one especially that comes to my mind, dear Hannah, she came up, a little Samuel. A sweet encouragement is in it, isn't there? As they repaired up to the temple once a year, it doesn't mean we just go to chapel once a year, but the pattern of it, it's going up, isn't it? But who can tell that the Lord might be in the house? The Lord himself might come, as he has promised to be, where two or three are gathered together in my name. And those that say, well, it doesn't really matter where we gather. Friends, I'm not right in that great statement. You know, when we can. Is it not good to be found amongst those that fear the Lord? Many, many sweet places where the Lord has met together. Perhaps we think of those that were praying, and Peter was in prison, and they could hardly believe it was Peter at the gate, but Peter continued knocking. But they were gathered together, weren't they? And I believe that there are other places where we might see that the Lord answered that those united cries. And we believe it to be right to gather. We don't say that it's because of the bricks and mortar, but we say surely that the Lord gathers, doesn't he? His dear people. And they are gathered unto the sanctuary. Now, friends, the Lord knows just how we are gathered this morning, each one of us. Is it because it's just Sunday? Or because it's really quite right to be here? Are there those that hunger and thirst? Only God can fill up the vast designs, the desires of man. Do you need something from heaven? Need the Lord to answer your petitions? Friends, is there something in your heart and mine that bring us to God's house today? Oh, I desire that it may be so according to the words in our text. Lord, come into my house and abide there. My inmost soul, the sanctuary within, that part that shall live forever, although the earthly house of this tabernacle must be taken down. Is there any good thing in our heart toward the Lord God of Israel that God has put there? And it may be like this, that there's an inquiry whether these things, like the Bereans, these things be so. That there's one character that stands out to me regarding the word in our text, and we've read of him, haven't we? Perhaps it may encompass those that are seeking and searching for the truth, that may need the Lord to help them to seek unto him to be taught of the Lord. Lord, come into my house and abide there. Teach me and guide me and direct me. Well, that dear man, I'm sure you will anticipate me, was called Zacchaeus. And he was chief among the publicans. He was rich. He knew how to feather his nest, we might say. But you see what divine grace did. Now, firstly, the man was discontent with that course. There was a pricking heart or conscience, wasn't there? He would go up into that sycamore tree to see the Lord Jesus, for he was to pass that way. Some may say it was just a natural desire, but friends, I believe there was something working in his heart. And that's what we need. He sought to see Jesus. You see, friends, he wanted to see him for the desire, I believe, of his soul. There was something that he couldn't really explain, perhaps, to others, but the Lord had begun. Now, are there some like that? That they can't say, well, I've got such a great experience or a law work that I can be speaking of, but friends, is there something in your heart that brings you like Zacchaeus to see Jesus, who he was? Or, friends, does it bring you to this point where you may have to be seen? Not that tree, as it were, was Zacchaeus, but never mind. He wanted to see Jesus more perfectly, or to know of him. Now the Lord works so gently sometimes. Did you know the effects of that desire were soon bringing the man to that very place where Jesus would come? That's the secret of it, isn't it? Just as it was with that dear woman at the well. Jesus was to pass that way, and he was to pass this way, where Zacchaeus was. Now, would it not be a good thing if it were to be the day that when the Lord should come according to his word, and they dwelt with him that day? For he was to pass that way. The word of God says, many are called, but few are chosen. Here's one chosen. He wanted to see Jesus, like those Greeks, like many characters. And so we hasten to that word, for the Lord spoke of his house. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, come down. Or make haste and come down. For today I must abide at thy house. They're well known words, aren't they? But how sweet and sacred, friends. Let me speak of it like this. Here is the divine and holy will of God. In the revelation of it, I must. The Father's appointment. That I must. The servant of God. From on high, I must abide at thy house. Here's one given to him. And yet he's but a seeker, a searcher. But he's brought to that place where the Lord met with him, and soon we read these words, I must abide at thy house. So we have again the truth in the word of our text. Lord, come into my house and abide there. This then could certainly be said concerning his inmost soul. But then what about his earthly house and the possessions of it? The things that no doubt that were plentiful. And the gains he had. What did they mean to him when the Lord met with him? What did they mean? You see, in his heart there was that true grace of God, true repentance, godly sorrow. It reached right into his dealings. into his business, work, or connections, or whatever we may say. But friends, right to the very centre now. Friends, let the Lord meet with us there. As we might be brought to that place, well, if the Lord touches my heart, if the Lord looks upon me, I'll need his grace to walk. And there may be sometimes, to speak very carefully, those vows. Dear Hannah had a vow, didn't she? Need the Lord to come to her house. A very, very precious way. And the Lord came to her house indeed. So it was that we have before us the truth in our text contained in another part. Now sometimes the Lord grants his word like that, doesn't he? That there's a word that seems to confirm his inheritance. When it is weary. Is that what you need this morning? The Lord to confirm something. I must abide at thy house. Lord, come into my house. And abide there. A dear man. He said, the half of my goods I give to the poor. If I have taken anything from any man by false accusation. That's an awful thing, isn't it? That I restore him fourfold. This day, Jesus said, is salvation come to this house. Very sweet word, isn't it? The Most High God, the very person of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus himself, speaks of this word, of his house. This day of salvation come to this house for as much as he also is the son of Abraham. Well, I believe that the Lord sometimes grants those confirmings. May it be so, I must pass on. And then we read in the text that she spoke these words, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. Faithful to the Lord. We read of it in the word. We've been faithful in a few things. We may say all things. The matter is this, isn't it? The Lord searches the heart. There's a hymn that we sometimes sing. He knows how deep our groanings are. And what our secret sighs express. Are there any like that? Need the Lord to come. That, you know, it needs a heart upright, doesn't it? Like Zacchaeus, it needs that true grace of God, that where we have a cross and a loss, but it won't have the smile of the world, be the frown of it. There they go again, up to the chapel. Up to God's house. Why, they only went up the other day, the other evening. Friends, I'm sure we're a very peculiar people. But friends, it needs the Lord in the house, doesn't it? For the Lord to come and grant a little of that sweet blessing or answers of peace. In his house. Now those that have been in the way for many years, that they know when the Lord is in the house. And now when the Spirit of God descends, we read of the cloud descending, don't we? Upon the sanctuary in the Old Testament, upon the tabernacle. The dear saints of God know. They know the difference. Sometimes they say, how barren is my soul today? And then they come to the end of the day and they have to say him, they saw not. It's not the end of it, is it? They come up again. But continue now. For they're hungering and thirsty. Very characters that God will bless. But you know, they're brought lower and lower. They're made conformable in the day of his power. Conformable to his death. And the truth of it is this, they must expect a loss or a cross or some great trouble, and the Lord sanctifies it. Lord, come into my house and abide there. How needful then the Lord is to come into the house when there's such a deep, deep need. When it needs the Lord to come and visit the house, or visit me with thy salvation. Can you be content with saying, well, the minister said it will be well, and it's well with the righteous, and that's the end of it. I'll get to heaven because the Bible says that. Or do you want the Lord to speak? Do you need the Lord to come into the house and your inmost soul as well? But you know, it's a wonderful truth, isn't it? The Lord should ever be in the house. The Master of Assemblies. When the Lord is there. Oh, it was so in years gone by. We read of those characters of old, especially in Scotland and other places, where the minister came in. Before he said anything, they knew the Lord was with him. Expectation. I'm not speaking of the man. I'm speaking of the ambassador. The king that sends his ambassadors. And there was a pouring out of God's Spirit. Where there was lowliness of mind and heart, and there was that desire that the Lord would come with the servants of God, with the word of the Lord. And we read of it in the word of God, and they were all waiting for him. Wonderful thing when it's like that. Different characters, different troubles, different needs, all waiting for him. Lord, come into my house and abide there. So I think of it with regard to his house, the sanctuary, where the Lord is pleased to grant his presence. We may speak of it with a liberty in prayer among the brethren. Or when there's a hymn that just flows. And it's a sweet truth in it that it's brought right to the heart. And his house is most precious. Not because that it's elaborate, but because the Lord is there. Now these things are marks of divine grace, but the resting place is Christ, isn't it? If you have a blessing today, you want one again, wouldn't you? If the Lord has given you a promise, do you not need it renewed? Do you need the Lord to speak? Perhaps there's a promise dear to your heart, the precious. I was speaking to a man of a text that the Lord gave him. Well-known text. I'll tell you what it was. Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. He said that's the text that God gave him, the promise. The man lives upon it. Many trials, afflictions, but it's what the Lord gave him. Then it's a river, isn't it? And we've got the river in our text. The river of God. The promises of God. The truth of it, this woman was by the riverside. In other words, it could be said that our text, Lord, come into my house and abide there, needs a river of God's love. Maybe said that it's where prayer was wont to be made. The force of their united cries we sometimes see. No power could long delay, deny. No, it's well if there is that time when the Lord grants a blessing in his house. I want to speak personally, just for a moment. I was once in prayer, many miles from here. I was trying to speak in my prayer before the Lord. Those words that sprung up in my heart, eternity, tremendous sound. Guilty soul's dreadful word. I was brought to a halt. I couldn't pray the reality of it. Eternity, tremendous sound. Guilty soul's dreadful word. Now if Christ and heaven be mine, how sweet the accents. How divine. It touched my heart. And there was a man joined the church. And he spoke of it. You see, he felt it. It was something that God was pleased to bring to his soul. And there was a sweet union. I didn't know anything about it until afterwards. Now, it's that application. But when there's something from God, and you know it touches hearts, doesn't it? And there are those friends that know what it is. As we read in God's word, whose hearts God had touched. Lord, come into my house and abide there. Many, many sweet thoughts about it. But then there are searching thoughts as well. Lord, come into my house and abide there. If we're honest and brought before the Lord, you know, there'd be a few changes. I don't know whether it's right to say this, but there was a man, a minister, and the Lord touched his heart, prepared him for the ministry, and he got a television. Well, some say, well, it's all right in its place, and so on. But you know that the man had to get hold of it and take it down the bottom of the garden. It was a snare to him. It was a trouble to him. We had to leave it down there. I want to be careful what I say. But my point is this. There'll be a few changes. And it's because of the Lord dwelling in our house. Or in, as Bunyan would say, in man's soul. It's when the Lord takes up residence. When he spreads his banner there. Here will I dwell, for I have desired it. And those words belong to the Lord, as well as his people. Well it is, friends, if we know something of the Lord dwelling in his house. Oh, it's the balm of Gilead, isn't it? It's when the Lord makes things right. When the Lord is pleased to grant a word in season. Something that, putting it very plain, just fits. It couldn't fit better. There's some sweet lines in the hymn. Those times and seasons when Jesus did thee meet. When the river flows, when your heart is sweetly drawn. The blessed Spirit of God moves hearts, friends. But Satan moves hearts, but the Lord Jesus moves hearts in another way. Toward God. Towards his house, his day, his word, his name, his truth. There'll be a drawing. There'll be something you can't speak about so much as that you're not what you once were, you're not what you want to be, but you need the Lord to fulfill that great desire in your house, in your heart. You need the Lord to come. And sometimes the Lord delays his coming. All to make us sick of self and fond of him, in the want of him. Some of you may know that. You know, in some quarters people think we ought to believe more, we ought to be more obedient, we ought to just apply for baptism if you're a member of the congregation. We go on and on and on like that. The living soul, he's got iron in his soul. It's the word of the Lord. Until his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. Those friends that are bowed down, and they got such a heart that is so full of leprosy, so full of need. And there they are then. God's word speaks, and there's being poor and needy, and that's what they confess. But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Oh, the Lord knows each one gathered, and how they need the Lord in the house, in their inner soul, or even regarding their earthly house where they live. You know, the Lord is well acquainted with each account that has to be paid. The Lord is well acquainted with the needs of those that say, well, we'll have to ask the Lord now. He knows. And it's well when you have to take your cares away. I read of Jesus saying the same words. And there are often times when you'll have to repeat the same desires. But you know, the Lord readeth the heart. What a wonderful thing it is. It doesn't say, well, I've Well, it doesn't say, ask me no more. Rather, friends, there's a time when the Lord touches the heart and you have to pour it out. The Lord knows, but you have to lay it before the Lord. We read of Hezekiah's letter before the Lord. And so it is with regard to those that desire to fear the Lord. They have to spread it before the Lord. Day-to-day things, as well as eternal realities, they belong to the house sometimes, don't they? The providential matters. Lord, come into my house and abide there. I think perhaps we could say we've used it like a prayer. Lord, come into my house and abide there. And there are those matters that belong to the church of God. Oh, it is a good prayer, isn't it? If the Lord guide us into it, Lord, come into my house and abide there. You need him for wisdom. You know, men think they know things they do not know, but the Lord knows. Do you need him for wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption? Do you need him as your all in all? Need the Lord to come and grant his rich grace. I've often said it's like the River Jordan that overflows its banks. My grace is sufficient. All sufficient is our Jesus. My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. How much wisdom we need in God's house. We read, I am wisdom. It's a good word, isn't it? There are many, many things I feel best to speak of in a heading, really. That the Lord may be in the house. That's everything, isn't it? Thoughts just go to David. He wasn't in the house when Samuel came. He said, the Lord has not chosen these. No. He couldn't anoint any one of the brethren, the sons of Jesse. Is there not another? He said, well, there's one you children will feed in the sheep. Go and fetch him. He is to be brought to the house. And there the Lord spoke. Arise, anoint him. This is he. The most unlikely, unthought of. He was too young, wasn't he, for some. Or that it didn't seem that it was worth summoning David or getting someone to care for the sheep that he might be in the house. But friends, God met him. And what a house did he speak of? The house of the kingdom. It just comes to my mind, I hadn't thought for a moment to speak of David, but you see, the Lord will bring to his house, as we read of Zacchaeus, I must abide at thy house, it belongs to characters that God will bless in his sweet providence, in his sovereignty. You know, we may come and go. We're brought up to come to God's house, carried. And then the little ones walk, don't they? And they grow up. There's a time when they come into God's house in a different way, because the Lord has called them. Where's he called them? Come to his house. Perhaps there's something that's brought them there. They need the Lord. And you know, their hearts are changed. Now, like Jacob, the time is gone. Like Jacob, where he laid down his head upon the pillows. He said, this is nothing other than God's house. The very gate of heaven is a Bethel. Get to come back to it. There are those things that God does in his house. We may need the Lord to bring us to the truth of his house and that which is according to his holy, sovereign mind and will. No, the Lord is the supreme head of the church. Then I must leave it. Now, it's my heart is often thinking of the dear children. We have them at home, and I just thought that it may be we do not expect it, but perhaps I may be able to write down the text. Lord, come into my house, and God bless them. May it be their desire. Lord Jesus, make thyself to me live in bright reality. Your present to face vision keen, any outward object seen, more dear, more intimately nigh than even the sweetest earthly toy. Lord, come into my house and abide there. Let's leave a few things. May God forgive anything amiss. Amen.
Last Lord's Day were £835, for which we are very thankful. God willing, there'll be a prayer meeting tomorrow evening with an address by Mr. Robert Field and followed by a church meeting. And God willing, Mr. Robert Field will also preach on Tuesday evening, and the service will be in the vestry. And Mr. John Rosier is expected to preach next Lord's Day. Let us close with hymn 157. Mourning souls by sin distressed, lost and ruined, void of good, you can never be released but by faith in Jesus' blood. Hymn 157.
do richly forgive all that has been spoken amiss. Bless thy word and truth. May it not return thee void. Bless the dear little ones, we pray. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit abide with us each. Amen.